ambassador of Christ. And I will tell you right away as I... This story is strictly inspired from Pastor Ramaka. So I was thinking about him a lot when I was actually preparing my message. And based on his job and his job title, what he's about to do, what he used to do here in Toronto, it's come, you know, my message together. And, you know, let me start it with this at the beginning, just to get you a slow introduction into the message, that, you know, Bible describes our relationship with God in many different ways, right? We all know that, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll just give you a quick some example of it, what I mean by that. In many different ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look here at verse 22. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 22. For he, verse 22, who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free in Christ is a slave. So basically, if we are in Christ, we are Christ's slave. So here, the kind of relationship we might not like too much, but we technically speaking are slaves of Christ. Now in other places, when you go to John chapter 15, here is a description a little bit different from slaves. John chapter 15, John chapter 15, and I will look at verse 14. Christ is speaking here to his disciples, and right here in verse 14 he says, "You are my friends." So it's more than a slave. You are my friend. You are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I hear from my Father, I have made known to you. Now we are Christ's friends. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. And here it says, For you are all sons of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. What a beautiful, you know, privilege is to be called not just a slave and a friend, but a child of God, the Most High. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's where I want to spend most of my time here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's start from verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compel us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Ask the results of it, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Jesus Christ is not the same physical body that he used to be when he walked among us human people. He's got a total different body now. He's a total different form. He's a spirit now. So Paul is saying, look up to him who is right now. Don't look back. Look up to him who is right now. And also verse 17. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Or other word, who has connected us to God through Jesus Christ. And as the results of it, of his work, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that in God, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing the trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation or the restoration. He's reconnecting. We are in this job of reconnecting other to Christ and to God. And verse 20. And now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Basically, we need to be reconciled to God first before we start to reconcile others to God. But I want to dwell on this. I want to dwell on this function, this special relationship as ambassadors for Christ or of Christ. And I said that Pastor Ramakan inspired me for this message, right? We all know the story. It's nothing hidden. We all know. He just received an offer from Jamaican government to a high commissioner office in London, Great Britain. You know, my question will be to you, how do you get this job? Oh, you're laughing. Can I get this job? So let's say we have some Jamaicans here. First, you have to be a citizen of Jamaica, right? So let's say even you have the citizenship of Jamaica. Can you get this job? Can you go on the internet, let's say on any government side, and say, oh, there is an opening. They need high commissioner in London. Oh, yeah, I'm qualified. Can get it. How we get this job? By appointment only, right? So think about it. What's the population of Jamaica? Let me estimate. About 3 million people, right? 2.7, 2.8 million? 2.7. So there will be one human being representing about 3 million Jamaicans to the country of Great Britain, right? What an honor. How many of us can put something like that on our resumes? Did Pastor Ramakan get his job by, let's just say, because he was a good friend to the Jamaican Prime Minister? Now, if you study his life, he worked tirelessly for Jamaican people, years after years after years. And that's why, through all these years, he was appointed to this job. What about the other question? That I will send you out and I will provide for you. And we know what happened as you read the story. They all came very excited at the end of their journey. But Christ was able to provide all of this thing, all the necessity for their jobs. Skip down. No, actually, go to Luke chapter 12 now. Luke chapter 12. And then he said to his disciple, Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And he gives them all here a nice, beautiful illustration. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one more cubit to his stature? And then you are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Why are you anxious for it? And he goes here a little farther, says, consider the lilies and all this thing. You can read it, but you just skip to verse 35. Look at verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamp burning. You make sure that you're doing God's job. And you yourself be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, then when he comes and knocks, then they may open to him immediately. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them watching or busy doing God's work. Assuredly I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Jesus Christ will come and serve them as long as you do God's job, as you bear fruits. If you don't bear fruits, don't expect anything from God. And now, just go back to verse 32. It's one of my favorite scripture here, verse 32. The same chapter, verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think about it. To give you the kingdom. What a blessing it is for Pastor Ramakan to represent the little nations of just less than 3 million people in the heart of the Commonwealth, Great Britain. Do you realize what a privilege and what a blessing it is to represent the King of the entire universe, not just consisting of 2.7 million people, consisting of billions of people, not just right now, but all the people that died before. You see the comparison? Little flock. Is the Father's desire to give you that kingdom, to be that ambassadors for me right now. What an honor. What a blessing. And I was speaking about the diplomatic immunity. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what a great honor it is to be ambassador and to have God's Holy Spirit in you? Do you realize what kind of power you have within yourself? What it gives you? Look at this, what Paul is writing here to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the same Spirit of the Lord. Do we realize that we have within us the power that is growing, transforming us to our Savior Jesus Christ as we represent Him, as we represent His kingdom, brethren? Now, how to be a, not just a good ambassador, how to be a great ambassador? And just before we go to that, I forget to give you the duties of the ambassador. What is the duty, generally, of an ambassador? What are the responsibilities? And you know, you can Google it anywhere. I'm talking about the physical way. What are the responsibilities of the ambassador? Very simple. As Pastor Ramakan is going to Great Britain, his duty as a high commissioner or as ambassador will be basically the same: to safeguard, protect, and promote the image, reputation, and interest of the sending state, in his case, Jamaica. That's what the ambassador does in a foreign country. And brethren, we are on the same mission right here. We are the same mission right here on this earth. How we can do this job as ambassadors a little bit better? So this is just my points. We can just go through them and you see if it's going to help us or not. You be the judge. But let's start from number one. As a true ambassador for Christ. Point number one. And we have to remember that. We should only speak the words of the King. I want you to think about it. Pastor Ramakan goes to London. He will represent the Jamaican government and the view of the Jamaican government in Great Britain. We, as a Christ ambassador here on this earth, we should be only speaking the words of the King. Think about it. What's our constitution here? Is the Jamaican constitution? Is the Canadian constitution? What is our constitution here? This is our rule of law. Do we have to add to it? Do we have to subtract from it? Do we have to be creative? Everything is right here. They speak the words of the King. That's it. It might be so simple, but sometimes it's so hard. And especially in the church environment. Right? I'll give you one Old Testament example of it. It's Jeremiah chapter 1. When young Jeremiah was called as a prophet, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 6. Here, young Jeremiah is saying at his young age, "Then I said, Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." Verse 7. "But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." Not your words, whatever I command you, you shall speak. "And do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And then, verse 9, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me," and then you can go through all the story if you want. Let's go back to the New Testament in case of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to John chapter 12. We should only speak the words of the King. John chapter 12. And look at verse 49 and 50. John chapter 12. Verse 49. "For I have not spoken on my own authority." This is Jesus Christ speaking. "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." He didn't use his own words. How often you hear in the Bible that Jesus Christ was walking and say, "Listen, you know what is my opinion about that?" How many times did you hear something like that in the gospel? And how often we come to church, and I'm guilty of it myself, we come into the church environment and you know what? And I will say, you know what my opinion is? You know what my idea is about this and that? And I just go on. Who cares what is my opinion about? Who cares what is my idea? You know what cares? What Jesus Christ said. Pastor Rama can ever sacrifice his beliefs just to get to this level of power? Not at all. And still today, it's a great honor even to me. I'm not Jamaican. It's great honor to me that somebody from our midst can be in London and speak to all the officials. If anybody asks him about his religion, he will say, I'm from the Church of God International. Oh, what's that? It's a little church. We are Sabbath-keeping church. Imagine that. We don't have many people in high places at this time, right? So, that's the job that you only can get through appointment. How we become Christ ambassadors? Can you just come and let's say, walk one day on the street in Toronto, you bump into something and say like, hey, I'll be ambassador for Christ. Is it possible? Or, you know, I just feel like it. I need God in my life today. You know, I'll become his ambassador today. Is it possible? Let's look at John chapter 15. Let the Bible answer it. John chapter 15. Look at verse 16. John chapter 15, look at verse 16. Christ is speaking to his disciples now. Personal message. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and do what? Bear fruit. As you go along, as you become his ambassadors, and you do his will, and you bear his fruits, what's the next line? That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. If you don't bear fruits, don't ask him. Don't ask him. If you bear fruits, whatever you need as ambassador to bear fruits, God will make sure that he will provide everything for your job. What do I mean? To understand the spiritual meaning of it, what it means to be ambassador, we have to look at the physical meaning. Let's just go. Let you know, your brethren can Google your own definition. What is an ambassador? And you know, for the easiest of it, I'm going to project it here on the wall so we can look at it. What is the definition of an ambassador? So, you know, if you take notes, it will be easier to take the notes if you're taking the notes. I'll go a little bit slower here. But who is an ambassador? An ambassador is an official envoy, especially a high-ranking diplomat, who represents a state and is usually accredited to another sovereign state or to an international organization as the resident representative or their own government. International organizations can be UN building or UN in New York. Also, every country appoint ambassadors to the United Nations, right, organization. The host country typically allows the ambassador control of a specific territory called an embassy, whose territory, staff, and vehicle are generally afforded diplomatic immunity in the host country. Do we understand what is diplomatic immunity here, right? Pastor Ramakant cannot be charged under any circumstances under the British law. No matter what he does, he can never ever be brought in front of the Great Britain court. The worst thing that can happen to him, he can become persona non grata and he'll be asked to leave the Great Britain as soon as possible, and will probably, the door will never ever be opened to him again. That's what it means, immunity. And as I mentioned, when you become ambassador, when government appoints you, doesn't matter where you go, to any countries, they will pay for every expense that you need to represent that country. They'll pay for your airfare, they'll pay for your accommodation, they'll pay for your staff, they'll pay for your cars, they will pay for everything. Everything will be provided as long as you're doing your job, what you're supposed to do. Now, speaking about expenses, as we read here before in John chapter 15, all expenses are covered. And you know, for many times for us Christians, when you start doing the God's job, when you start to become ambassador, it's very difficult because we live in this, you know, physical realm. And many times we worry how God will provide for some of the things. How God will provide. But the same thing the disciples went through. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And just right at the beginning of Christ's ministry, when he was calling his disciples, you can imagine yourself in their shoes. They were fishermen. They worked hard, really hard to support for their living. They fish all day. They fish all night. And sometimes that was not enough just to have a decent living. Now, if somebody comes across and says, you know, Peter, John, I want you to come with me. Don't worry about that. Oh, you know, but Jesus Christ, how are we going to pay for all these expenses? Who's going to pay for it? Look at this beautiful story right here in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was at this, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Verse 2. And so two boats standing by the lake, by the fishermen, had gone from them and were washing their nets. That he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, remember, they were fishing all night. They couldn't catch anything. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. We're talking about an experienced fisherman. They know how to fish. They're very experienced. Jesus Christ said, let's go back and cast the nets again. What's the natural response? You know, I would do the same thing. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. Who will provide for your work when you're doing God's job? Who will provide your expenses when you become busy, when you become ambassador for Christ? Who will provide for your expenses? Look at this story here. And look at verse 8. Peter got it right away. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. My faith was so small. You know, I trust my own experience. I believe just myself and my own power to do these things. But forgive me now. There's a greater hand behind it, which is myself. Verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John and the son of Zebedee, who were partnered with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't worry. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Forget about what you're doing. I will provide for you. Come and do my will. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and follow Follow Him. This is not the only place, brethren, when you look at here in the gospel, what God can do to you, to your life, as long as you bear fruits, what is God's will for you, you know, in your life. Just skip over to Luke chapter 12. This time, it's not just a few of them. Now we 70 of them. Luke chapter 12. And look here at verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." I think I'm a little bit ahead of myself. Just go to chapter 10. Yeah. 70. I apologize for that. Luke chapter 10. Verse 1. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." And just skip down to verse 3. The instruction he tells them, he says, "Go your way. Behold, I send you as a lamb among wolves." Verse 4. "Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road." He says, don't worry about your provision. I will send you what God said. Amen. My opinion, they're 11. It's nothing to do with anything. Actually, giving my opinion might be actually very destructive for the church environment. And you all know, having been in church a little bit longer, that people's own idea can destroy the whole church. God's word will never destroy church. Never, ever. Point number two. We should only be concerned with the interest of the king. We should only be concerned with the interest of the king. It's not my interest. It's not my family's interest. It's not my best buddy's interest. It's the interest of my king. Go to John chapter 6. And verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven." His whole mission, all objection, objective, "not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." There is no my interest spreading the gospel of the kingdom. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the king whom you represent. Just go back chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at verse 19. "Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, that Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." And that should be a lesson for all of us. Try to imitate Christ. Not our own interest, on our own ideas, on our own opinions. We should be only concerned with the interest of the king. And you know, when we just go far away from it, and you know, it would happen, because we are human, it will happen. Many things will happen that will take us away from this mission. Sickness. Preoccupation with the worldly stuff. You know, my car, my home, my pension, my, you know, my career. everything that was standing in the line of it, once you lose the track of it, you'll be in trouble. As long as you're doing God's business, God promised that He will take care of everything else. Point number three. We should only be speaking on behalf of His government. We should only be speaking on behalf of His government. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 10. We should only be speaking on behalf of His government. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Not my words. I don't speak on my own behalf. I just do and I speak what my Father told me to do. I do exactly what I was commanded to. That's what I'm doing here. Go back to John 7. John chapter 7. Look at verse 16 and 17. Verse 16. John chapter 7. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whatever I speak of my own authority. And every single one of you can go back in your life, especially if you've been in church longer than 20 years. How many men, how many pastors, how many leaders got derailed along the way because they tried to do their own doctrine? Stick to the book. We should only be concerned with the interests of the king and no one else. No man. Interest of the king. Our personal opinion is great. You know, I can give you my personal opinion about my vacation, my life and other things. When it comes to this word of God, my opinion should not matter. Imagine for a moment Pastor Ramakan being high commissioner. And let something huge happen on the relationship between the Jamaican government and the Great Britain government. Pastor Ramakan is in the middle, like a mediator. And let's say he will go to, let's say, Great Britain government and says, you know what? My government stand on this is this, this and this. But then he will come, you know what? I don't really believe that. You know, in my personal opinion, I think we should do this and this and that. You know what would happen to Pastor Ramakan? He would be recalled the next day. You get on the plane, and I want you in Kingston, Jamaica, the next day. That's what the Prime Minister would do. If you misrepresent God, that's the last thing that we want. If God's going to say, I'm recalling you back. You dishonor my name. Don't bring shame to portray that my kingdom is this when it's not that. Be careful what you're doing. Point number four. We should maintain an open line of connection and communication with the king. We should maintain an open line of connection and communication with the king. How do you stay connected with the king? How Pastor Ramakar stay connected to his government? There is a secure line. Nobody can breach it. If something serious, he can grab his phone and even call the prime minister at any time of day or night. Listen, we have a serious situation right here. And I need to speak to the prime minister right now. Absolutely. We should do the same thing. Through prayer. What's the other part? How we stay connected to our government policies. Is our government policies changing from election to election? Do they change from month to month? Do the tax law change every year? It's still the same. It shouldn't be harder. It's from the beginning like that. God doesn't change. He's the same. Today, yesterday, and forever. Let me give you an example. How Jesus Christ stayed so much connected to his Father. Luke chapter 6. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes we read the Bible quickly. We don't pay attention to details. But right here, Luke chapter 6. And in verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. I'll give everybody a chance to get there. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. And continue all night in prayer to God. How many of you ever stay up all night and pray to God about some issues that is in your life? How many of you? No one? So I mean that, you know, you're fully aware of what's happening. You don't need to get this connection, the same as Jesus Christ had the same connection, right? Just think about it. I'm guilty of it too. Jesus Christ is about to make a serious decision in his ministry. He prayed to God for all night. Look what he did next in the morning. Coming from the mountains, from praying all night, look what he did in verse 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. See it? Oh, but I thought that Jesus Christ was a supernatural human being. He could just look at somebody and say, hey, Brother Noel, there you go. Oh, Brother Bernard, I'm here. He prayed all night. Are you patient? Or are you impatient? When you're about to make a major decision in your life, I'm talking major decision. Change your career. You change your job. You send your kids to school. Whatever it is, do you get on your knee and pray to the Father that, you know, I'm about to make a decision. Please help me make sure that this is the right decision. Do you go to your brethren and say, I'm about to make a very important decision in my life. This is what it is. I struggle with it. Please pray with me. Pray with me so that God's going to give me an answer. Do we do it? No. We are impatient after 2 minutes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's done deal. We hit the button, God's going to answer it. Come on, we live in North America, right? Whenever we want, God is there. He's going to provide whatever we need. Really? Only when you bear fruits. Only when you represent Him the way that He wants you to represent. If you're not, He can recall you. And then there will be harsh consequences for it. Like to any ambassador happen along the way. Look what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6. Jesus Christ prayed all night. Now here is the Paul in Ephesians chapter. We all know the scriptures. But just to review them. Ephesians chapter 6, just very short verse here in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Paul, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray. Pray all the time. Pray for brethren when they make choices in their life. Pray for them. Help them to make the right choices. This is what it's all about. Colossians chapter 4. Apostle Paul, who is about to preach the gospel, you know, who knows everything what God wants to send him. He doesn't need the prayer. He's ready to go. God opened to him everything, right? Look here at Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. And as you pray for you, pray for me here in verse 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Pray for me. Not just I just go on the street and yap, Jesus Christ is the Lord. It's not just about that. That God will push me in the right direction when He wants me to go on this day, on this hour, pray for me. So when I open my mouth, there will be people standing ready to receive your message. Apostle Paul, of all the people, would ask all the brethren, pray that God will open the door. Pray so I don't have to waste my time trying to run in the circle. Pray. Point number 5. And I mentioned this a little bit before, but point number 5. We should be carrying out the policies already established by the King. We should be carrying out the policies already established by the King. Look at Revelation chapter 22 here. Revelation chapter 22. And right here, just breaking into the context. And I hope, brethren, that we take scriptures right very seriously. And if anyone, chapter 22, verse 19. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. If you take away, you know, sometimes we say, let's just simplify it. Don't try to simplify. Don't try to take it away. Take it for whatever it is. And you know another one. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We all know the scripture is well known. But let's just turn there. Chapter Matthew chapter 5. In verse 17, Jesus Christ's words. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. My Father's laws don't change. I didn't come here to change them. I just came to fulfill. Brethren, make sure that along us, whatever we're doing, we never ever change the God's word or try to change the God's word. We already have the policies that were established a long time ago. Just carry them on. Carry them on. And that's it. So in conclusion, brethren, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Whatever we said, let's put all these things in a proper context when you read scripture like this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. We all know the scripture very well. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Don't run around all these people about trying to, you know, improve yourself, improve your life, you know, get ahead of everything. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Are you doing God's job? You know what? The world might be falling apart in front of you. It will happen. Don't get distracted by it. Carry the policies of your king. Preach the gospel. Move on. Move forward. This is your job. That's what you're going to, one day, that's what you will have to report to the king of the universe. That's why it matters. And you know, we have a problem here in North America because we live in so-called democracy. You know, we encourage people to ask them, what is your opinion? What do you think about that? And people can go on and on.